The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome into Morning Invest. We are at Morning Invest Election World Headquarters. From my living room, I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to see you. The only progressive morning show covers the issues that matter to most Americans, as we saw in the exit polls last night, yet both major parties ignore them. So welcome in to your favorite morning show. Nice to see all of you this morning. Grover is still at the pet sitter because we've got furniture moving around, and I didn't want a little puppy getting injured by boxes and things like that. So So he will not be here today, but we will be seeing him later this afternoon, so I'm excited about that. But coming up on today's show, Google searches for liquor stores near me hit an all-time high. That's what people were doing last night, Googling liquor stores near me. Honey, I need to get out of here. I need to go to, I just found one, Bob's Beer Emporium. I'm going. You want anything? Trump and Biden are too close to call at this hour. And we probably won't know for another few days, although we're getting closer in some of these different data points. So we're going to take you state by state today and bring you the very latest on the numbers. So I've got the election map here. We are live. These are up-to-date numbers. We'll be going through moment by moment as we show you the very latest on the election. And then most importantly, I want to go to the future and by analyzing what went wrong in the past. So what happened? We'll get there in a few moments here on the show, a sort of post-mortem. What I love about elections is that we get an immediate snapshot right after the election of what went wrong. It's like taking a test and you're getting immediate results. No more relying on polls or any of that malarkey, to steal a line from Joe Biden. Sorry, Joe. But we get immediate results, and now we're able to see what do the American people want, what went wrong, where did things, the major differences across this country, what were the issues that mattered most to Americans from exit polls, and all of this money that was spent in certain elections, what an absolute waste. So I'm going to give you my big takeaways from last night, all of that and more coming up on the show. If you're new here, go ahead and subscribe to the channel. You know, YouTube tells me that 70% of you watch every day, but you haven't subscribed yet. Hit that subscribe button. And when you do subscribe, turn on that little bell notification dingus, so that way you'll be notified the moment we go live. And plus, we publish videos throughout the day as well. So please subscribe to the channel. Okay, so let's get right to it. The very latest on the election at this hour, of course, 9 a.m. Eastern time, one day after the polls have closed, late last night. And where do things stand right now? Well, things stand, according to the map at this hour, this is all up-to-date data. Right now, Vice President Biden is at 238 electoral votes, is Trump's 213. Now, there's so many different pathways here for us to digest. So I want to be going back and forth to the map and trying to digest these data points between Trump and Biden. Don't worry, we'll get to the Senate. We'll get to all of those other things in just a moment. But the big one, the big boy, the thing that everyone's talking about, Trump v. Biden. So the very latest all eyes on Wisconsin at this hour. I'm keeping my eye very closely, and throughout the end of the show, you know, maybe even by the end of the show, we'll have some bigger data points. We'll circle back here in a little bit. But right now, with 95% of the vote coming in Wisconsin, these are, of course, a very tight battleground state. And remember, this is a state that took days in 2016 to come in. We didn't know who won Wisconsin for days. Trump won by a very narrow margin over Hillary Clinton back then, less than 1%. By the way, in the state of Wisconsin, as a point of reference for a recount, because this could be one of those states where we see a recount, folks. The loser can ask for a recount if there's a 1% differential in the vote count. So if Biden loses by less than 1% or 1%, he can demand a recount. Same with Trump. And right now, that's where we are. Look at that. Really right around 1%, less than 1%. 10 electoral votes up for grabs. Now, this is a state that, you know, Biden has to flip two remaining Trump states that he won in 2016. Wisconsin is one of the likeliest, and Michigan is the other likeliest at this hour. 94%. Now, what's interesting about Michigan, of course, there's still quite a few votes to come in from Wayne County. And that, of course, is a heavily Democratic area. And the same thing is true of Wisconsin. Milwaukee is already in, but there are other heavily Democratic areas that have not been counted yet. And so this could stretch on. We're hearing Wisconsin could be wrapped up in about 2 hours. So we could know Wisconsin in about two and a half hours. The one holdout here is Green Bay, Wisconsin. Green Bay, Wisconsin is about an hour behind the rest of Michigan, or the rest of Wisconsin. So we could, that could trickle on for quite a while in Wisconsin. And Michigan. Again, we're still counting. Pennsylvania, look at this trending Trump at this point. But there's still quite a few votes to be counted. Only 64% of the expected vote is in Pennsylvania right now. Georgia, Biden had hoped to flip Georgia, and it looked like throughout the night that Georgia was trending blue. Now you can see where things stand. It's now trending back towards Trump. But remember, this is that red mirage we keep hearing about. You know, the red mirage, which Trump could win on election day. But then in a few days later, as the actual mail-in votes are finally all counted and the absentee ballots are all finally all counted, then you're likely to see a Biden victory. And Georgia is a state where we are likely to see that potentially happen. The reason is because a lot of those mail-in ballots will not be counted for a while. There's millions of ballots still need to be counted in Georgia, and mail-in specifically, and in heavily Democratic areas as well, where people, actual votes from the polls last night. So Georgia is a real nail biter at this hour. Some surprises, though. Let's go to Arizona. Now, if Joe Biden holds on to that, remember, 84% of the expected vote came in. Man, President Trump flipped out at Fox News last night. Did you see that? He was not happy that Fox News called Arizona before anyone else did. And their decision desk defended that decision. They said, based on these margins and the existing mail-in ballots, there's really no way that he wins Arizona. So that was the first state that Joe Biden flipped. Hillary Clinton lost. This is the first state that that Joe Biden has flipped from Donald Trump from 2016. That Arizona decision could be the most important thing for the Biden camp going forward, because now they only have to hold two additional states that Trump won in 2016. That could be Wisconsin, it could be Georgia, it could be Pennsylvania, it could be Michigan. There's a couple of different scenarios in all of this. Some of you have asked, hey, what about a tie? That was a scenario, 269-269. It's not going to happen. The reason is because one particular district has now gone for Biden. If that one specific district in Maine had not gone for Biden, because they actually apportion their congressional districts in Maine and Nebraska, if those had gone Trump, then we could be looking at a potential tie scenario, 269-269. So that's not going to happen. Thank goodness. We will not get a tie, in which case then it would be thrown to the House of Representatives. And oh, my God, that hasn't happened in hundreds of years in the United States. Let's just hope that that doesn't happen, but it's not going to. So you don't have to worry about that. So, and it, again, if we come back to North Carolina, this is now trending in the Trump direction at this hour. Again, this is live. These are live numbers. Nevada, we have been told by the Secretary of State's office in Nevada that we won't know. They're done counting, basically. And they're not going to probably have any data for the rest of the week. Nevada's just like, hey, we got bars to go to. You know, we got Vegas. We're just going to take some time off because we don't really, we're just going to slow our roll a bit here in Vegas. Fire up your coffee this morning. This was my favorite, though, I have to admit, seeing this. This was a top Google trend overnight. Fries near me? I'm looking for fries. Who goes on Google to look for fries? Do you not know where the nearest McDonald's is? You need to go to Google to find that. And you need to find the... And by the way, the number one search was liquor store near me. But look at how they spelled liquor. So my... What I'm saying is to the people that can't even spell liquor, do you need more of it? You know, I can't even spell it. I love that the misspelled version of liquor is the most trending. Like people just don't know how to spell it. Where's that liquor? I need it. I just don't know where it is. And I don't know where fries are. Dave, do you ever have trouble finding fries near you? Like if you, would you ever Google fries near me?
No, but I think that's a testament to where we actually are as a country.
Right.
People are so pizza terrified. I need fries and beer or liquor.
I need scotch and fries. That's how we're going to make it through. But here's the thing. What I don't get is everyone so freaked out about this election last night, but we all knew that this was going to happen. We've been warning you for... You know, you asked me, one of our viewers asked me the other day, you put it up as a question here on the screen, which is, you know, who do you think is going to win tonight? I'm like, no, I don't. It's going to be a week or more till we know. These things don't even need to be certified until December anyway. And by the way, throughout most of American history, like us knowing who's the president on election night is like a modern invention. Like for almost all of American history, we didn't know who the president was for days. This is not new territory for us, but because we're in this immediate texting, you know, instant gratification, Amazon Prime, I need my fries now. We need to know right now. Even my kids woke up this morning. They're like, who won? Who's the winner? I'm like, Mitch McConnell, Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham. But we don't know. My kids are like, who are that? Who is that? Like, exactly. The more important elections, quite honestly, went overwhelmingly in the opposite direction than what Democrats won. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Come on, man.
Back to the numbers. Sorry, Joe. It's the truth. It's the truth, my brother. So here we are with these latest numbers. Pennsylvania now. Again, we're still waiting for a number of districts to come in. 64% of the vote, trending Trump at this hour. But this is going to change dramatically as these absentee and mail-in ballots. Just a short time ago, the governor of Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf, came out and said, we will not declare a winner until every vote has been counted in the state. Well, that's what we hope for. But look at this. Florida, of course, went for Trump. And it wasn't really even that close, to be honest with you. I mean, what does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. Tells me that the Latino vote was one of the most important voting blocks in the country. And Cuban-American vote, Venezuelan vote, by the way, Venezuelan-Americans, who Trump was able to scare, saying, yeah, socialism's bad. You just came from Venezuela. You saw how bad it was. Biden's going to be a socialist president. Come on, man. We know that's not true. I guess it worked in Florida. So maybe, you know, we were asking yesterday, I asked the question, why wasn't Trump spending too much time in Florida? You know, why wasn't he spending enough time there towards the end? I thought, my gosh, he needs to be in Florida, you know, if he wants to hold on to that state. But they were looking at some data that showed they're going to be fine. So they spent their last days in Michigan, which turned out probably to be, and Pennsylvania, which turned out to be a smart play. The mainstream media wouldn't really give him credit for it. So I'm just stunned by this map, folks. I mean, it just look at Texas, all talk about Texas is going to go blue. Illinois, look at Ohio. Not even close. 94% of the vote in. Not even close in Ohio. And if you look at Pennsylvania compared to Ohio, I mean, if this is the trend right now through the Rust Belt, this could be a bad day. This could be a bad next few days for Team Biden. But folks, right now, all eyes on Wisconsin. That's where my eyes are right now. Wisconsin. And we may have some real data here towards the end of the show. Again, this is live updates we'll bring to you throughout the show, the very latest. But, last night, of course, President Trump came out at about 3 in the morning. I was watching it live. That's why I'm bleary-eyed right now. So President Trump came out and, of course, had everyone up in arms about what he had to say about the election. And the way that I interpreted what he said, which I don't think I'm wrong, disagree with me if you will, was basically saying, hey, we need to continue to count the votes in Arizona because I don't believe the results. So all of those mail-in ballots that are still sitting there that we haven't counted in Arizona, I want to make sure you count all of those. But those other states where now you've sent some of the people home because they need sleep, right? In Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, where, hey, these poll workers need to go home and actually get some sleep so they're not screwing up when they're counting these ballots. People need sleep. What's the rush? He's like, I think something's fishy. This is fraudulent, and we're going to take this to the Supreme Court. To which you had, Republicans, Chris Christie, you had Rick Santorum, you had plenty of Republicans and Democrats all coming out slamming the president for those comments. Let's watch a little of this press conference, which my jaw was agape, as usual.
And all of a sudden, everything just stopped. This is a fraud on the American public.
So people, it's 3 in the morning. We're gonna start again counting in the morning. You've been counting for 15 hours. Have you ever done math? Look, when I do math for more than 10 minutes, my eyes cross. When people have to tally this stuff, these people need rest. Go home, rest, come back, finish the job. This is what happens every year. By the way, that's how you won Wisconsin, President Trump. It's a fraud. And by the way, we got clarification on what exactly he was talking about. He wasn't talking about the mail-in votes or absentee votes coming from overseas. No, he was specifically talking about, the White House clarified this, he was specifically talking about yesterday's votes. The people that went to the polls to vote.
This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
Oh, he won. Oh, okay. I guess, Dave, we can just end the show now because he won. Is that what you can do in the United States? You can just come out and you can just announce that you're the winner? Like an autocrat? I'm the winner. Just, shut those other polls down. My name is Kim Jong-un. Just shut the rest of it down. I've won. Let's not even count anything else. I'm a winner.
So our goal now is to ensure the integrity.
Now you want to ensure the integrity. Okay.
For the good of this nation, this is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop.
We want all voting to stop. Except in the states where I still want you to count them. We want all voting to stop. Just stop the voting. Because, that would be bad if we count all these votes.
We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list. Okay?
We don't want these poll workers to do their job and to, there's another box over here that we forgot to count. We don't want you to find those. Don't count them.
It's a very sad moment. To me, this is a very sad moment. And we will win this. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won. So I just want to thank you.
And so, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won. That is the worst concession speech I've ever seen. Have you seen a concession speech that bad before? Where you're losing, you come out and say that you won, and then say that you're going to go to the Supreme Court to fight against us counting the us counting the votes. Okay. Vice President Biden, for his part, came out just a short time later and was not happy about those remarks and said that no president should be able to declare victory. Myself or President Trump should not be able to just come out and tell you who's going to win and who's winning. That's up to the American people. Vice President Biden gave a little speech last night as well in Wilmington, Delaware, saying, hey, you know, I think we're in a good position to win. And thanks for all of your support. This is going to drag on. We know it will. Get some rest. Thank you so much. Good night. President Trump, of course, has to do this. And it was funny to watch these political pundits, these conservative political pundits try to spin it on the morning shows and overnight. Like, oh my gosh. Fox immediately denounced it. Fox News, his favorite network, immediately denounced it. You know, every major network denounced it. You had Republicans and Democrats coming out and saying, that's ridiculous. We want to have an honest election. Let's wait till every vote is counted. So there you go. That's the very latest. And we will continue to watch these latest election results throughout the show and keep an eye on Wisconsin. Again, with 95% of the expected vote in, and in Michigan with 94. And as these votes continue, you know, I want to keep an eye on Arizona as well, because this is an area that President Trump has been saying, you know, we want to wait till all of these votes are counted. So 84% are in, but the margins on these mail-in ballots are expected to go significantly in the favor of Joe Biden. So the very latest on that. Glenn Greenwald just posted a story, which Dave and I were talking about this morning. And it is really disgusting to think that the U.S. has this inability to count votes. We're so terrible at it. It's a national disgrace, and Glenn Greenwald says, and dangerous. The richest and most powerful country on earth, whether due to ineptitude, choice, or a combination of both, has no ability to perform the simple task of counting votes in a minimally efficient or confidence-inspiring manner. As a result, the credibility of the voting process is severely impaired, and any residual authority the U.S. claims to spread democracy to lucky recipients of its benevolence around the world is close to obliterated. And I think that's a great point. Think about us being this beacon, right? This Ronald Reagan shining, you know, beacon on a mountain, right? What did he say? Shining light on a mountain? Anyway, for the rest of the world, this beacon of hope. And we become a laughingstock to the rest of the world. Think about, I don't know, think about New Zealand. We were talking about New Zealand before the show. We see Dave, there's like 60 different political parties in New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but just a ton of different parties.
Right. Look at Portugal. In a short amount of time, there was a new political party that just won, I was reading, in the Azores, the island, which is a Portuguese island, the Azores, the Chega party. Chega, which means enough. New party, just won. How does a new party emerge and win? How does this happen all the time? Doesn't happen in the United States. We're led to believe we have this two-party system, that's it. We can't have any third party, any meaningful voices and votes. You know, sad to even watch, like last night, Howie Hawkins, Green Party candidate, tweeting, like, hey, we're having an election, you know, just we're having an election night gathering. And I'm just like, oh, so sad. So sad to watch. All of that money that goes to both of these big political parties. Really disgusting. And our inability to count. I mean, this is We have all of this, these different systems for voting. We have a, the reason we don't have the votes coming in right now in Georgia is because we had, they had upgrade software. They had software problems in Georgia. They had to swap out hard drives. You had a pipe burst in North Carolina, so they had to stop counting there. They're worried about the bet. It's like Mickey Mouse style stuff. And yet we're the most powerful, richest country in the world. And we are a laughing stock. So I wanted to, I had a couple of key takeaways from last night. We'll get to in a second, but I wanted to check in on the chat room, see how everyone's doing this morning. And
yeah, so we had a super chat yesterday that we didn't get to. Robert Strickland wanted to know, what about planned protests, riots, rumored to start tonight, which would have been last night. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, we already saw a couple of those breaking out. There's right now, there's mounting protesters showing up at the White House. It's going to happen. But I don't know what they're protesting. We don't have any results yet. We don't know who the president is. What are you okay. You're going to come out and support Trump. You're going to come out and say that this is a disaster and that President Trump stole the election or vice versa. We don't have all the ballots haven't been counted yet. And by the way, I don't know what you're protesting because we've seen zero voting irregularities across the country. This is one positive sign. There was going to be like widespread fraud and all kinds of problems. Zero from both. You would have heard, I mean, trust me, if there was widespread fraud in Texas or something, Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, would have been out there yelling. Same would have happened in any other state where you have Republicans or, you know, et cetera, would have been saying, hey, President Trump was right. We've had zero of it so far, at least of this reporting, unless something happened in the last 5 minutes I don't know about. But so far, no voting irregularity. That means that when someone cast a vote, it was counted. Sure, in the run-up to the election, you had a lot of people fighting to not have those votes counted. We saw the court battles, right? But at this hour, no voting irregularity. So I don't know what the protests are for at this. I don't know. Hey, maybe you should be coming out and protesting against the Democratic Party and saying what a disaster their platform was. So all of these Black Lives Matter protesters, maybe they could have said, you know what? You guys don't stand for us. We heard some of that, actually, at some of the Black Lives Matter protests and marches. That, wait a minute, we're voting for a guy who voted for the crime bill? That's what we're voting for? That's what we're standing out here marching for? No, we need to wake up. We heard some of that, but obviously not enough of it. Not enough to at least, you know, think about, I saw someone tweet last night, imagine we could have had Bernie Sanders. Imagine there could have been an actual progressive that was in line with what exit polls showed people wanted. Medicare for all. Workers' rights. A fair wage. But we didn't. We ended up with Biden on that side. So, Robert, I don't know what people are protesting. They did put up that barrier at the White House, by the way. It's supposed to be a non-scalable wall that they put up and erected around the White House. I don't know if you saw this thing. It looked pretty scalable to me. It even had like wainscoting built into it to like make it look like a nice wall. I guess in line with like Trump's beautiful wall idea, right?
They should have just used the same material they used on the border.
Right, exactly. Or make it that big.
Yeah.
Build a big, beautiful wall. Literally, it had like crown molding around it. Put up a nice wall, non-scalable wall around the White House. What other questions do we have?
Let's see. A lot of comments. They come in so fast. Does all counting stop once one gets to 270?
No. All the counting will continue, and it can continue for days and weeks. And by the way, these election results don't have to be, you know, aren't officially certified until I think December, at which time then the Electoral College certification process. So there's like multiple steps in this. So they don't, they have to get every vote in. So all of this election night, we're figuring out who's won and we want to give you television results. You know, that's why I think there's this outcry. There was this outcry from Trump, because if you look at Arizona, right, Right now, there's 84% of the precincts reporting, the vote reporting. So you still have 16% that's still not in, but because of the remaining ballots, what we know is that they're going to go towards the Biden side. The margin is just not, he's not able to make that up, even if he picks up 2%. But they still have to count all of these. They still have to count all of them and then certify them. So we need 100% of the vote in. That's what we're hearing about this red mirage again, this idea that on election night you could have a Trump victory or the appearance of a Trump victory. He will come out at the podium and declare that he's won, as if we did. This is like, we heard this, right? We knew this was going to happen. This is exactly what people were warning us about. Trump's going to have the red mirage, the appearance that he's won. He's going to declare that any of these votes that trickle in later are fraudulent. Take it to the Supreme Court. And now he's got a favorable Supreme Court. But as we've seen with a number of these court decisions in the past few days, even with a Republican court, those appointed by Bush, etc., those decisions did not go in their favor to suppress the vote. So,
another question, Clayton, if Biden wins, how long does Trump have to get out of the White House?
Vince Scott, well, he has to be out by January 20th when Biden is going to move in. Usually that process starts throughout the winter. They're removing, you know, the moving trucks are pulling up and they're getting their computers out of there and they're doing all of that stuff. And you remember famously when George W. Bush was moving in, Bill Clinton, the Clinton staffers, like, removed all of the W's from the computers. So they're like, oh, I got a keyboard. There's no W on my keyboard. You got me. So, you know, remember that? That was, I think it was the W. I'm pretty sure it was. They removed all the W's from the keyboards. Obama's transition team, he made sure that none of his staff members did any of that kind of stuff to Trump. Like, he wanted it to be as fair and as easy a transition as possible. And Trump even thanked him for that. And so it was not dirty. Like, putting stuff in the air ducts and hiding stuff. Like, what is that smell? Oh, someone put a fish in one of the air ducts. It's Clinton people. They have to be out by January 20th. I mean, he's moving in. He moves into the White House on Inauguration Day. So the end of January. All right, we've got more to get to here. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. How many of you are subscribers to the channel? We do this show live every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time, covering the progressive stories that I think matter to the American people. Stories that mainstream media won't cover and they'll ignore, and then they'll be shocked on election day that, oh my God, our guy Biden didn't win? Because they ignore these stories? So subscribe, and you can become a channel member by going to morninginvest.com/join. Let's get to some more news this morning. So what happened last night? I have a couple of key takeaways that I want to look at in the election. Now, we know where things stand right now with Trump v. Biden, right? So the latest election map, of course, won't know for a few days. 238 right now for Biden on the electoral vote count. Trump 213, still up for grabs, still counting votes in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, and still, frankly, even in Arizona, which even though it's gone for Biden, those numbers are still coming in. So this is live. We're not going to talk about that. But I am going to talk about a couple of the key takeaways from the past 24 hours and this election cycle that I think we need to pay attention to. Number one, boy, do the Democrats suck. I've been saying this all summer, but now we have the validation. And what I love about post-election data is that it's a stamp. I mean, it is like, here you go, rejected. No more polls. You know, no more Nate Silver polls interviewing 800 people. And then that's how we're going to say, oh, yeah, the state of we interviewed 800 people in a poll. Pennsylvania is clearly a supporter of Biden right now. No, this isn't about polls. This is actual data from last night. These are exit polls. These are asking people when they walk out after they voted, what issues mattered to you the most? And guess what? Those issues, Democrats were not talking about them. 72% of exit polls last night. 72% of respondents in a Fox News exit poll showed 72% of Americans support healthcare for all, Medicare for all. Just imagine for a moment if Biden, instead of trying to say that he was for fracking, now he's not for fracking, but he is for fracking and he's not going to ban fracking. He's just not going to do it on federal lands and the sort of wishy-washy approach on the environment. Imagine instead of this flippy floppiness, or that like the Talking Heads song, making flippy floppy. Instead of that, what if he had come out and said, you know what? It's time. We took baby steps with Obamacare, and now we're going to take this into the stratosphere. The American people want universal health care. They want Medicare for all, and I'm going to be the president that gets it to you. He would have won, but no. Democrats had a terrible economic message, and number one on the list last night for exit polls was the economy. The Democratic ticket basically ran away from economic issues, and they expected to win. It had some different, you know, like white papers that they released and whatever. But for the most part, Democratic Party was not talking about the economic issues that matter to the American people. Trump won 81% of the vote among a third of the electorate that listed the economy as its top priority. Think about that for a second. Trump won 81% of the electorate that listed the economy as its most important point and the reason for voting. Have you noticed how, what kind of economy we're in right now? And Trump won? Think about it. Well, we don't know if he won just yet. Okay. But he won in that regard, that those people that voted for him on that message, 81%. Even more amazing is that Trump and Biden equally split the vote among those whose priority is a president that cares about people like me. That was the quote, people like me. You would have thought, oh my God, Biden's the guy, right, who cares about people like me. He's like the average Joe, right? He's Joe from Scranton. He rides an Amtrak. Trump hangs out with porn stars and has gold-plated toilets. And yet they split down the middle on that? People like me? One of the candidates flies, had an aircraft with his name on the side of it. Trump. He's just like me, right? Have you seen my jet? It says Delta on the side. So among these exit polls, I'm stunned by these exit polls from Edison Research, because this, when you look at the breakdown on this, the economy was top of the list. COVID was top of the list. Healthcare, top of the list. And Trump wins those on the exit poll numbers. How is this possible? It's because the Democrats suck. Their platform was terrible. And you know what? After 2016, this should have been a reckoning. After 2016, after Hillary gets crushed for peddling the same garbage, there should have been a postmortem. There should have been a real soul searching among Democrats. And there was. There was a lot of licking of the wounds, but it was a lot of blaming other people, right? Gosh, if only Jill Stein, only those pesky Green Party voters in Pennsylvania didn't actually get to vote in Pennsylvania, they would have voted for me, Hillary Clinton. If only James Comey didn't release that email story in the FBI a few days before the election, I would have won. It was all about other people, right? And so what did they do this time? This time, they tried to keep the Green Party off the ballot in Pennsylvania. Success, they did. They tried to keep them off the ballot in Wisconsin. Success. Nebraska, success. So instead of allowing people to vote for a Jill Stein or a Howie Hawkins, we're going to hire a team of lawyers to make sure they don't get on the ballot. Instead of it trying to embrace the policies that progressives and true progressive candidates would actually be fighting for, the things that Bernie Sanders was talking about on the campaign trail, The reason that Bernie Sanders was winning in large part for a long time and had thousands of energetic young people at his rallies, in stark contrast to those Biden rallies, where there's like a few mice scurrying through. It's almost like they have to pay people to show up. Same thing was true of Hillary's. When she was showing up in Pennsylvania in the closing days of the election, I was there in Butler, Pennsylvania, covering the election. And I was up in the western part of Pennsylvania, and these Trump rallies were off the charts. Go to a Hillary rally, there's like no one there. It was really sad. It was embarrassing, actually. So instead of embracing these types of policies, Democrats tried to fight against it, and they tried to peddle the same garbage, the same stuff from 4 years ago again. It's a definition of insanity, right? Repeating something over and over, hoping for a different result.
Yeah, but they tweeted that a vote for the Democrats is a vote for democracy.
Oh, they tweeted.
Yeah,
look for later today when Nancy Pelosi is going to craft a skillful tweet that's going to throw a lot of shade at Donald Trump. That's what they'll do. They'll tweet.
A strongly worded tweet.
A strongly worded tweet. And then they'll go back to having brunch. You know, isn't it amazing to think about all of the money that pours out of Hollywood? All of these, these liberal elites. And these limousine limo, these limo liberals. All of this money from Jeffrey Katzenberg. He can just throw billions away on Quibi and other things and throw them into Joe Biden candidacies. All of this money pouring in. And it's all for naught. One other big takeaway I had last night was this Lincoln Project stuff. You know, the Lincoln Project, which is that anti-Trump group. They were all these disenfranchised. Let me just frame this for you what this Lincoln Project was. The Lincoln Project was making a lot of headlines in the early parts of this campaign because they were releasing these videos going right after Trump. And these were conservatives making these videos, using his own words against him. So what was this group? Well, this group was like this group of disenfranchised former Washington conservatives that actually had jobs before Trump came in to Washington. These were like the Bush conservatives. These were those types of conservatives. They always had money. They always had jobs. They were the strategists, the think tank guys. And guess what? They were out of work once the Trump campaign rolled into town because they weren't going to hire these lackeys. So what do? They didn't go after Biden. They went after Trump. And they poured upwards of $70 million they raised to go after Trump. And these people embarrassed themselves. It raised $40 million just in the last few months to go after Trump. And by the way, all of these liberals, CNN and everyone, anytime there was a new Lincoln Project video, they're like, oh, the Lincoln Project, they're out with one of their new scathing videos of President Trump. Let's play it. So they got all this free advertising from liberal media, the mainstream media. Oh, these are conservatives that hate Trump. Let's roll it. Let's show you that video. Guess what? It didn't work. What's more astounding, the reason it didn't work, and I think the takeaway from this whole project thing is that the idea for Democrats this cycle was that instead of going after the 100 million people that don't vote, they just don't vote because they think both parties are worthless. There's 100 million Americans that don't vote. So instead of Republicans or Democrats specifically going after those people, their agenda was to go after Republicans, those people that had voted for Trump in 2016. Sound like a smart strategy? Well, that's what the Biden camp thought it was. Great strategy. So they're going to go after those people that voted for Trump in 2016. Look, I'm up in Scranton. I know you voted for Trump last time. But I see that you're hurting. I'm Scranton Joe. I'm Scranton Joe. You can't vote for Trump. Look what he's done. He's a racist. He's a misogynist. He's the guy that created COVID. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? So that was their goal, was to siphon off these Republicans that voted for Trump. Did it work? No, we have the data. It didn't work at all. In fact, what we now know is that 90% of Republicans who voted for Trump in 2016, this time 93% voted for Trump. It went up 3%. It went up 3%. And you look at this map, and specifically in areas where this is of major concern right now, in Pennsylvania for Biden and Georgia. And as these late votes started to come in here, now we're at 94%, 95% in Wisconsin. Some of these late breaking votes were in Michigan, were starting to trend towards Trump over the last 30 minutes. Yeah, this is not good news. This is not good news for Democrats. So this is their strategy. Let's go after, let's instead of trying to pick up new voters, instead of trying to pick up some of these 100 million people that don't vote, let's go after people that voted for Trump last time. That's our strategy. So there may be a lot of so-called never Republicans out there, never Trump Republicans that we heard about in the media. But these are all like Washington insider people. These are people that work in D.C. Who cares about these guys? There's not a large voting block of never Trump Republicans out there. Who are they going to vote for? Biden? Or they're just going to stay home? Turns out they all voted for Trump overwhelmingly. And boy, did they get out the vote. Now, we didn't hear the mainstream media talking about the get out the vote effort by Republicans. So this whole Lincoln Project effort to try to scandalize Trump's behavior, the exit polls just didn't care. They cared more about the issues than they did about a Hunter Biden story or Trump and porn stars and his tax returns, etc. They cared more about the economy, COVID, and healthcare. And they voted for Trump. Another big takeaway is that people aren't actually that hot on the Affordable Care Act. People don't really like it all that much. But they do like Medicare for All. 73%, 72, 73% said they would support Medicare for All. And so when Trump says, you know, we're going to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, we're going to replace it with Trump Care, we're going to create our own plan, even better. 50% of people are kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm paying more now for my health care under Obamacare anyway. By the way, I also lost my job. I don't even have health care. So, okay, I guess. And even Democrats who were like, yeah, okay, great. Obamacare, yeah. So 50% just like, whatever. So that argument didn't really work. That argument from Democrats in the closing days, Biden's argument in the last few weeks, is that, you know, look, Trump's going to take away your Obamacare. People are kind of like, okay. But he could have said, we're going to replace it. We're going to replace it with something much better. Medicare for All. And boy, he might have actually won in a big way if he had done that. But he didn't. There was a lot of money wasted. That's another big takeaway. There was a lot of grassroots money wasted and thrown away in some of these races, from Nebraska to Georgia. It was pretty terrible. They saw a massive surge in donations. After Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, there was so much money that poured into these Democratic candidates, and they wasted it. People gave like $5 donations, $10 donations. They're like, you know what? We want a Supreme Court justice. We want you to fight for a Supreme Court justice. Like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, somebody that's going to stand up for the American people. Workers' rights, not be in the pockets of big companies and corporations. Guess what happened? It turns out that Republicans and Democrats are on the exact same page when it comes to the courts. Yeah, they support Amy Coney Barrett's exact same position. corporations over workers' rights. That's why they didn't fight. That's why they didn't fight at all. In fact, the differences between Democrats and Republicans on issues like abortion and gay rights are important. Right? We know that they are. But the issues at the Supreme Court, almost overwhelmingly, 70-80% of the cases that have come before the Supreme Court are corporations versus workers, workers' rights. And the Democrats, who just laid down and allowed Amy Coney Barrett to be placed on the Supreme Court, the reason they did that is because they don't give a rat's ass about workers and workers' rights. They are in lockstep. These two parties are in lockstep when it comes to corporations. And all of these big corporate donors who got on the phone with Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer, this is a phone, and told them, don't hold this up. We've got bigger fish to fry. Focus on the real prize, which I don't even know what the real prize is, to be honest with you, but they laid down. And it turns out the American people didn't want them to. So in these exit polls, the American people, the Democrats specifically, were pissed that the Democrats rolled over on the Supreme Court. It turns out that they actually cared about that. So they read that wrong. Democrats read that wrong. Nancy Pelosi read that wrong. And by laying down to Republicans on the Supreme Court, they lost a lot of these Senate races. And that it was one of the key issues that people voted on when they went and voted in these you know, Senate seats and these House seats, was the Supreme Court. And they read that wrong. I just find that part fascinating. I mean, again, this is something we were saying here on the show. I was saying, you know, for months, or not months, but way after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, like, Democrats had better stand their ground here. And you heard me talking about this at the end of the summer, about the number of cases that come before the Supreme Court overwhelmingly are corporations versus the little guy. It's not about abortion. You always want to wrap it in some sort of a cultural argument so that it's palatable to the voters. Guess what? Voters see through it. You know what? I think that's another big takeaway here, is that voters are much smarter than we give them credit for. Not if you're watching this show. We give voters a lot of credit here on this show, but that the main parties and the mainstream media don't give them credit for. Turns out that the American people, on the Democratic side, the progressive side, actually wanted their senators to stand up and not push forward another person that was going to be in the pockets of big business and just cater to big business over workers and workers' rights. Shocking, I know. Isn't that surprising? Shocked. I'm shocked to see gambling going on here. Those are some of my biggest takeaways. I think the bottom line is, though, that Democrats, if you want to put a little bow on this, is that Democrats' failure to expand their base, to expand their tent, to bring in some of these larger progressive policies into their platform, try to grab some of those 100 million voters, was a huge disaster for them. And we see it now in these Senate races. So Mitch McConnell won his race. Lindsey Graham won his race in South Carolina. And by the way, millions upon millions of dollars poured down the toilet by the Democrats in South Carolina trying to unseat Lindsey Graham. Joni Ernst in Iowa doesn't know the price of soybeans, loses. And the list goes on. Susan Collins in Maine wins. So we don't have all the votes in yet, but it looks like this is going to be right now it's sort of tied in the Senate, but it looks like the GOP is going to retain the Senate. So the GOP retains the Senate. Democrats barely hold on to the House, and we don't know what's going to happen with the presidency yet. But just imagine for one moment if Democrats had actually embraced some of these broader, more inclusive policies that we've been calling for on this show, how different things would look this morning. Imagine, what's also striking to me is that the party of inclusivity is now, by these exit polls, looks to be Republican. that workers supported Republicans, that Latinos supported Republicans. Democratic Party, they don't deserve to be a party anymore. Let me know in the comments below what you think. Am I wrong? What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel and smash that like button. That lets YouTube know that, hey, you find us useful. You find value in us. By the way, we're live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So you can watch this show live every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah, I mean, the Lincoln Project raised $67 million. The Republican voters against Trump raised $10 million. $77 million was raised just to make little crappy videos slamming Trump. 93% of Republicans voted for Trump in 2020. That's up from 90% in 2016. Yeah, that didn't work. That's why I love these like immediate postmortems after Election Day. Because we can really see exactly where this money went and whether or not it worked. And we now clearly know it didn't work. Them's the truth. Let's take a look at the latest numbers here. Any comments coming in that I can
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, the thing is, like with the Democratic Party, this two-party system, the Democrats didn't really have to do anything because there's no other choice. So it's like, you know, they it doesn't matter who they put up. The people are going to fight for that person because we've got two choices. I always compare it to getting a shot in your left or right arm. You're going to give me a shot. It's going to give me the same effect, but I have to decide which side I want to feel the prick in, right? So that's the only difference.
Exactly. And we don't have, and you know, so where you had Maine, like the state of Maine, of course, had ranked choice voting. And I can't wait to see those numbers more deeply today. So you know that I've been talking about ranked choice voting here on the show for most of the summer. Ranked choice voting, of course, allows you to vote your conscience. Like if you want to vote for Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate, or Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian Party candidate. My little girl's home from school today. Not feeling super well. She just woke up from a little cat nap. Getting her dolls. You come say hi. Whoa. Hi. She's got a little runny nose. Hi. Whoa. Say hi, everyone. Say hi. No? You just want to see yourself on camera? You just want to see yourself on camera? What are you, a baby Trump? She likes them cameras like Trump does. So, you know, in Maine, you have this ranked choice voting, which, you know, you've got ranked choice voting, which allows you to vote your conscience. So you can pick your candidate in order of your conscience. You want to vote for Joe Jorgensen? Great. Guess what? And if she gets 50% of the vote in that state because everyone else voted their conscience, she wins. But then the second person down on the list, you could put, you know, Joe Biden, because you're like, well, do I, or Trump, or maybe if I vote for Joe, is that like, you know, me throwing away my vote? No, with ranked choice voting, it's not. It's first, second, third. Imagine that. It actually works. So I want to dive deeper into the Maine numbers this afternoon. I'll bring that to you on the show tomorrow, exactly how ranked choice voting unfolded in that state, if we have all the final numbers there. I think it's going to be fascinating to look at. And I think, look, there's an opportunity to your point, Dave. Like if we had ranked choice voting in every state, people could vote their conscience. They could vote and say, yeah, I want I want Mark Chapman, Native American candidate for president. I want Howie Hawkins, Green Party candidate.
Well, does ranked choice voting then negate the gerrymandering, or would that still be an issue? Like, are those the two major issues? The like, if you would give ranked choice voting and then get rid of gerrymandering, that would pretty much fix what's going on, or would ranked choice cancel it out?
No, ranked choice, because for congressional districts, the lines would still need to be drawn. That wouldn't change anything. What it would do, though, is give another party a chance in that particular district. So gerrymandering, there are some moves to stop this, and there's some big movements we've seen in Texas against gerrymandering districts and so forth. But that's a huge issue still. It has nothing to do with ranked choice voting, to my understanding, because it wouldn't. The district line would still be drawn no matter what, based on those census results.
Well, because if you had ranked choice voting everywhere, then if those, because I think the problem with gerrymandering is they know that they have those certain, you know, Republicans or whatever in those areas. But if ranked choice voting was available in those areas, it would almost seem to cancel that out, because then there wouldn't have to be such a focus on that, because those areas could go to a third party regardless of
right. I mean, the thing, yeah, I mean, it would cancel it out. That's the point. Like, gerrymandering would become like a thing of the past. You know, like, we wouldn't really be having a discussion about it anymore. But see, this is the thing that bothers me when you're gerrymandering these districts and you're trying to draw these lines. And some of these districts are ridiculous. If you've ever seen, like, you know, some of the districts in Virginia, it's like, it should just be like a square, right? Like, here's your district. You're in this box, you know, like a grid. But instead, it's like, we're going to draw a line over here, and then we're going to put there's a bunch of Democrats that live in this little neighborhood, in this cul-de-sac. So we're going to draw a line around it. And that's my district.
Who it's draws like that?
Weird looking.
Like, is that something that's voted on, and they're just like, or is somebody like, hey, you're going to be in charge of district drawing. And then they just go do their research. And I mean, you would think they'd have to be two people from each party doing it or something. Like, is it just like willy nilly? Like, hey, this is what it is.
Yeah, it's exactly willy nilly. I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, and it depends on who's in power in particular states and others. And people, like in the state of Texas, for instance, Republicans, when they drew the districts around outside of Houston, and they didn't anticipate that those outside areas would become like Democratic areas when they drew those lines. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot. And the reason that Texas was even so close is because of some of those issues, because of these Democrats being in these certain quadrants now that they drew. So yeah, it's just whoever's in power gets to draw these things, and it's just ridiculous. But yeah, this, to your point, like, ranked choice voting would cancel that out. It would make it so that these third party candidates, no matter where they lived, would have a chance, regardless of district, regardless of where people have drawn these lines. But I think the thing that makes me so angry is that these are the tactics by these two big corporate Wall Street parties, political parties, Democrats and Republicans, that they keep trying to do in order to remain in power. Like, gerrymandering districts, trying to suppress votes, throw out ballots from people so they can't vote. Democrats trying to keep third party candidates off the ballot in Pennsylvania and other states so you can't vote for a Green Party candidate. Like, instead of focusing on like being more inclusive and following what the American people want, they go to these sort of medieval tactics.
Now, with ranked choice, they still have criteria they have to meet in order to be on there? Because, like, so what's going on with the Green Party, where they had them removed from the ballot, in a ranked choice voting situation, would that still happen? Because, like, what we've seen, so I worked a campaign in 2012, I worked the Ron Paul campaign, and we actually saw that, you know, when he was on the ballot in certain areas, the Romney campaign actually paid money to try to get him off the ballot in a bunch of states. So would that still be the thing? Like, would they still have to do that kind of fighting in a ranked choice situation?
I don't know about that. I don't know the answer to that. But I will dig deeper into that, because, like, in Maine, for instance, the legislature approved in 2019, that they were allowed to have this ranked choice vote system extended to the presidential election. So at the time, it was only extended to the state legislature. They allowed it in 2019 to be extended to the presidency. Now, there was a battle. Republicans didn't want it. They kind of battled against it. They lost, and it was extended to the presidency. To qualify, basically the Supreme Court there in Maine, and I don't know if this is the case on how to get on a ballot nationwide if you were going to become a nationwide candidate, but at least in the state of Maine, there were not enough signatures submitted for them to veto the referendum to qualify for the ballot. So I think you still, in the case of the presidency, regardless of ranked choice and however a state counts its votes, whether or not it's by legislative district, like in the case of Maine or Nebraska, where they submit electoral votes based on congressional district, you still need to qualify by getting a certain number of signatures to be qualified in different states. So I don't think that that would change based on ranked choice system, unless they change the law, in which case, how many signatures did Ron Paul have to get on, like, per state? Like,
well, I'm not sure the signatures, but to the point is, like, whenever you see a third party candidate start to get any kind of recognition or whatever, because these parties are private, because even the debates are private, I mean, it's a private company that runs them, they're able to change the rules in favor of what they need. So it's like, even with ranked choice, I see that still being an issue because these parties are making these rules. So, you know, when Ron Paul had at the convention enough votes to be nominated on the floor, they changed the rules on the spot so that that couldn't happen. And so it's like, there's so many stopping points for these third party candidates along the way that I don't know, like, ranked choice voting, I think, is a great thing, but there's so much that needs to happen before that to get these third party candidates to even be viable.
Right. So how do you even get on the ballot in order to be considered one of the ranked choice people?
Right.
And I don't know the answer.
Because they'd be like, oh, it's 10,000 signatures, but then, like, this person gets 10,000 signatures. Oh, sorry, now it's 25. You know, like, it's
right.
Like,
oh, we changed it.
Yeah.
Right.
You didn't get the memo?
Right, because both of these parties don't want either of, you know, any third party. So they work in tandem, you know, very often. I mean, I saw it happen in Montana when I was there covering the legislature in Montana. I saw some of these third party candidates who, you know, were environmental candidates. Who were sick of the polluting of their lands and their ranching lands in Montana, but they just couldn't get any traction. Talked to them, they could not get any traction in the court system there. They couldn't in the legislature. And it was incredibly difficult for them to go up against these guys because of this. It's like systemic. I don't know. There's a name for it. Like, we call things like systemic racism. Like, what is it? Systemic suppression. I don't know. Candidate suppression. I don't know what would be a better way to describe it.
Well, it's definitely not favorable to the people. That's for sure.
We've got a few areas where we do have ranked choice voting, like one congressional district in Maryland, Tacoma Park, Telluride in Colorado, Carbondale in Colorado, Basalt. These are counties, right? Yeah. Telluride County, Florida, it's been adopted, but not implemented. So it's been adopted, but they haven't implemented it. Isn't that funny? Like, okay, what are you waiting on? In Sarasota, it's allowed to do it in Sarasota. Oakland in California, San Francisco in California has it, San Leandro and Berkeley. But very few other areas. Minnesota, yes, it has it in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and St. Louis Park. They've adopted it, but not implemented it yet.
Well, and it seems to me like it's only going to, like, these kind of things will only work if it's adopted nationwide, because that's the part of the problem is this state does it this way, this state does it this way. And it's like, so it just gets so confusing. Like, you would have to have a consistent system so that every state understood, because there's sometimes where the states actually don't even understand what they're supposed to do. You know, it's like, oh, we did it this way, like for the caucuses and primaries and all this other stuff. It's like everything needs to be consistent. Because then you can go back and look at it and be like, okay, that you did this wrong, you know, and that's just the thing. It's like so inconsistent from state to state.
Right. And people, yeah, the fact that we were even having these discussions in the summer and that we had people watching our show from Maine that didn't even know what it was. Like, there's just a lack of education about this entire process. And if we had people demanding nationwide ranked choice voting, think how different, what a different world we'd be living in right now if every state was ranked choice and we actually had viable candidates. The thing is, very often we don't even, you know, the Green Party searches around. They're trying to find some telegenic, Hollywood type that they can put out there as a Green Party candidate. And in the end, they can't really find anybody. So they're like, you know what, Howie Hawkins, will you go? We know you're not the most telegenic, you're not the most energetic, but will you do it? You champion the new Green New Deal? Can you run? And so you get these people that just don't even want to be a part of the process because there's just no chance. Now, I just wish we had nationwide ranked choice voting. I think it would definitely be a move in this direction. So someone's saying in the chat, so no stimulus. Look, this is the worst case scenario for a stimulus, folks. The fact that this could be a red Senate again and a blue presidency if Biden wins. We'll know in the next few days, perhaps. And the House remains barely blue. Yes, this is the worst case scenario for a stimulus. But I don't understand Wall Street this morning, because yesterday Wall Street's numbers were up. They're doing fine. Because this was their worst case scenario, Wall Street, was to have a red Senate again with no stimulus. And that's what's happened. Mitch McConnell won again. Lindsey Graham won again. Joni Ernst won again. Susan Collins in Maine, etc. They're all back. All your favorite faces. And then Biden wins a presidency. We don't know. But you're not going to see a stimulus of any size. I can't imagine. If you have a lame duck president, no way. No way we're going to see that anytime soon. Unless we fall off a cliff, in which case maybe the Federal Reserve will step in. All of that we're keeping our eye on. So before we say goodbye, let's take a look at the last, see what the last numbers look like at this hour. So remember, Nevada is saying that they are waiting on counting anymore. So we probably won't see anything from them till the end of the week. Biden holds a narrow lead there with 67%. So this one will trickle in later. Wisconsin, this is the one to watch. 95% of the expected vote in the next hour or two. We could have 100% in. And Biden holds that narrow lead there. Remember, a recount can happen in Wisconsin if the loser is within 1%. They can ask for a recount. Michigan, Biden holds a narrow lead there. This one has narrowed since we last checked in. Now 95% of the vote is counted in Michigan. So this has tightened. Look at that now, folks, since the start of the show. Georgia, they're still waiting on this software issue in Georgia. So 6% still out. This could swing Biden, but it's not looking good at the moment. But there's still the ballots that are out right now. There's millions that are out that are the mail-in ballots, which are expected to go heavily Democratic. And there's still some Democratic areas in that state that have not been counted. So expect that one to narrow as well. Good. We could be looking at recounts in a couple of states.
Yeah. I mean, let's say it's like 2%, right? The other won't concede. Do they have to like verbally concede that, okay, I lost Wisconsin or whatever? Or is that something that is like, okay, no, it's not off by 1%. You cannot contest it. It's what it is.
Well, they have in every state is different with triggers and automatic recount. So, you know, they can sit there and say, we're not going to say anything about it, but it'll trigger an automatic recount. In certain states.
Gotcha.
So you don't even have to raise an alarm bell. It's an automatic recount. They go into a process immediately. We're getting some new data in right now. Let's see what this is. This is updating some new data. Let's see what this is before we wrap things up here. So right now, electoral votes, remember, 270 needed to win. We will not see a tie. There was fear that we would have a tie at 269, in which case it would go to the House of Representatives, and oh my God, what a disaster that would be. Yeah. So throughout I don't know what this data is right now, but throughout the day, Wisconsin, keep your eye on Wisconsin and Michigan. These are the two that I'll be watching, because the fact that Biden took Arizona, he flipped one of the Trump states. He needed to flip one of these Trump states, and that's a big one. Okay. So that one went for Trump in 2016. The fact that he flipped that, he needs to flip two more. So his path is larger than Trump's to victory. So if Biden flips Wisconsin, then he's at 248, and then he gets Michigan, then he's at 266, and then if he holds on in Nevada with those six, he wins. So he's up in Nevada right now. This we're not going to know till the end of the week. We've already heard from the Secretary of State's office in Nevada that they're going to wait. Thanks for teasing us like that. So these are the states to watch: Wisconsin and Michigan at this hour. And I mean, this is not to discount Pennsylvania, but these are the two that we likely will see results for first. And we might not even need Pennsylvania or Georgia for an answer. The reason I say that these two are the most important right now, because if these come in and they're done, then we really wouldn't need to even worry about Georgia or Pennsylvania for a Biden victory. Then Trump just has to hope that Nevada doesn't go fully blue and that he could hold on in Georgia or North Carolina. So, oh boy, what a day. Get some rest, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us this morning. Thank you for subscribing and smashing that like button and joining us live here on the show. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe to our morning newsletter. It comes out first thing in the morning. So it's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning just by going to morninginvest.com. How many of you watching right now are subscribers? It's totally free. You can read it in about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee in the morning. We try to write it with a bit of humor to give you the business news stories we think are matter.
I actually subscribe to it and enjoy it every morning. I actually read it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's high praise. So, hey, you be a subscriber as well. Morninginvest.com is how you can subscribe. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Thank you, baby girl, for being relatively quiet, being home today. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.